So welcome, everyone, to the third support call for this BridgeWalk season. And a reminder to folks that these calls are really an opportunity to look at anything related to the BridgeWalk season. So that might be technical questions, things you're running up against. And as I often say, you know, it's possible that we're able to answer small technical things right on the call, which can be helpful because often if one person has that question, other people do too. But if we're not able to tackle it on the call, we'll certainly get you pointed in the right direction and get you the resources you need to solve whatever it is. But also to talk about how you're going about it. We've had, on these calls, we've had so much inspiration and ideas from folks, and you know, this has sparked that, which sparks that for that person. And so just letting us know what you're up to and how you're going about it, which may also include getting some support. Maybe you have an idea that you got to a stuck place with, or you want some process support around it, or that sort of thing. That can be really helpful to look at on the call as well, because, again, often if it's something that you're up against, then it may well be something that someone else is up against as well. So I did also want to say as we start the call that it's very exciting because since the last time we talked, I think we jumped something like $20,000 in our fundraising. So we are currently at $21,843.10 on our way to our $110,000. So it's really, really exciting. And lots of participation from lots of different people. People are making fundraising pages. They're clearly already asking their friends and family for donations, you know, getting support from people in their community, that kind of thing. So really fun. So with that, I'll open it up. Who would like to start us off?
This is Jen Weiss.
Hey, Jen.
Hey. Oh, that's such exciting news. Thank you for sharing.
Isn't that fun?
Wow. Ooh, that's really cool. So I wanted to jump right in because I see getting stalled, and you know, I think it's a familiar place, and so I was just like, okay, I'm just going to jump right in and participate.
Good
and,
you
know, want to get free of that, right?
Yeah.
So
right, because that's so perfect, yeah. Because jumping in is really kind of, if we go to the world of opposites, jumping in is the opposite of being stalled, isn't it?
Yes, that's a great, exactly. Yes, that's a helpful way to look at it. Yeah, exactly. So it's a couple of, it's always a conversation, right? But it's a couple conversations. There's one of, like, there are lots of ideas. And that's kind of a familiar, like, they're all so exciting. And I've done some of them in the past, and I really should do them again. But I, you know, so it becomes so overwhelming. Because it goes from it's exciting to, like, it's overwhelming because I really should do all of them, or there's a right one to pick. And then the overwhelmed, you know, place just kind of goes to, like, oh, my gosh, I go nowhere with it because it's all, it's just so much stuff. So that's one thing.
So shall we look at that one first?
We can, yeah, sure. Or okay. I can tell you the other one, too, and then we can see where we go, whatever. Whatever works, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Why don't you throw the other one in, and we'll see. They'll be related. Cousins.
Yeah, I think so. Well, the other place that I keep falling into is, you know, it just leaves me just kind of feeling bad or feeling guilty, which of course also leaves me stuck and, you know, isn't very inspiring for taking action, right? But it's this thing where I do fundraising for another organization too, and I usually have raised more money for that organization than I have for the Africa project. So I always get, I get told to feel really bad about that because I, you know, what do I not care about the Africa project as much? And, you know, I'm not doing, like, you know, I should work harder to make sure that I, you know, it just becomes that thing. Like there's a comparison thing, and I need to feel bad because this is a measure that I don't care as much. And if I would work harder, I could raise, you know, more for Africa too. And so I get lost in a whole spiral of that thing too. So yeah, there it all is.
Yeah. So ugly, isn't it? Oh my gosh. And Jen, have you, with that particular one, I'm just curious if you've used the move on it of, okay, got it. So now let me just, for a moment, consider if one of my good friends, like, you know, I happen to know some of the people that you work on your other fundraising project with, and if one of them were telling you that same thing, you know, Jen, here's what's going on, and the voices are saying, you know, that it means I don't care because I raise more money for this and not for this, and I, do you have a sense of what your approach might be?
Yeah, I'm having trouble. Like, I'm not stuck in it right now that I'm having a little trouble. I'm like, well, yeah, I know what I would say to someone else, but like, I can't, you know, I'm having that trouble of like making it available to this person. Right. But of course, I mean, I know, yeah, you know, I would.
Well, and if you didn't, what if you just for a moment, so Jen, with that, can you actually picture if it was someone else, like picture a particular person?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Someone you really, you know, you love them and they're, you know, they're great and you love having them on the team and all that. And truly that they were actually feeling that way. Can you go to what your internal response to them might be? I mean, I'm not even saying what you would say, but just how you would see them, how you would feel about that. In other words, would it feel legitimate? Oh yeah, that kind of is true. I see that you really don't care about the Africa project, and I think you're not working hard enough.
Right, I definitely would not. That would not be a legitimate response. I can definitely see that. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, to me, the place that's so helpful for me is to, if we just even strip out, just look at the bare facts, quote facts of how it works. What that's going to do is shut me down, because I don't want to be criticized like that. You know, that doesn't feel good, right? So very likely what I'm going to end up doing is maybe even paring back my participation with this other thing that I'm fundraising for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it's just that place where when I really see that that's the impact it's attempting to have, right? That, because the only reason it would be believable is if that there was really some truth to that. Well, yeah, maybe I don't care. I mean, maybe I don't. And it's such horse-pucky, right? I mean, it's complete horse-pucky.
Yeah.
And so then if we get it that it's horse-pucky, then it feels like it puts us in a position of, okay, well, let me see what else drops in. Like things like, why would there need to be a duality between this and that? Why isn't it all one thing? And, you know, life lines it up that this much participation in this year goes this place and this much goes that place. And guess what? Last year, we made our goal. And you know what? We're going to do it again. And so because I'm fundraising for this other thing doesn't seem to be creating a problem for the Africa project.
Yeah, and it's so funny too, right? Like it's, I mean, like everyone's participation is so important, and it's not like it gets set up too that it like in all up to me, like, well, if I don't figure this out perfectly, then I will sabotage the Africa project or something, right? I mean, that's
exactly.
So crazy, and yeah, that's so helpful.
So crazy.
So, yeah.
And then the other thing that occurs to me, Jen, is that I think you're part of a big team, right? And
right.
So
yeah.
If there really was the... you know, kind of the life impulse of, gosh, I wonder how I might step up my participation in this particular thing this year, then might there just be an inquiry around that and asking for assistance from my team?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, and then all the stuff of, like, you know, asking people for money, like, all year long comes up. You know, but I know if in life there's so I was looking at, okay, maybe I can set that forth a little more clearly with the, you know, friends and family members that I, you know, sort of hit up in these two places and, you know, and try to make it a lot of fun and share how much I love and care about both of these things. But yeah, maybe if it was a little more clear, like, okay, you know, fall season is this time and then spring season is that time or something. So it doesn't feel like I'm, you know, kind of always asking for people for stuff, but yes, then I could, you know, maybe that team support could come in with the Africa work too, and who knows what could happen there. So, yeah.
Yeah, and before we let you go, a couple of quick things occur to me with that. One is how much I project that's a process for all of us, that there's the impulse, oh, it would be so fun to step up my participation. And then immediately we look to conditioned mind of, well, how am I going to do that? Well, that's not going to, I mean, you're already asking money for the But what if I was allowed to stay in the, I would like to do this, and then just stay there, and I don't need to do anything about it, but just see what unfolds? Because it feels like the second thing was, feels like it relates to your first inquiry, which is, wow, there are all these ideas. And I don't know, but maybe some of those ideas are not directly the same as just fundraising, asking people for money. And that's one of the things I'm loving about this year's campaign is how we're, a big part of it is people are going to do practice offerings, and they're, and then have people sign up for the practice offerings, and then that money is going to go to the project. So might there be some creative things around that, you know, that occur to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That might be a slightly different way of the way you've approached the other content.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Thank you, Jen.
Yeah. Thank you, Jen.
This is Tony.
Janice.
Hi, Tony.
That was so helpful to hear, because I wrote down that process because it was articulated so well, that, like, because that's what happened to me. This impulse came in, one idea came in the other day, and then this morning I was reading, looking at the website, and this idea flashed through, and I got real excited. I thought, oh, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. And then I proceeded to start actually doing some things toward that, and that conditioning came in very convincingly to try to sabotage. So kind of looking at that.
With that conversation.
Yes, because I had this idea. I really like the second idea that came in of doing some paintings of bamboo and some words, because I was so touched by this, what I read on the website about the roots and, it takes 4 years where you don't see really any growth, but if you're not taking care of it and giving it water, it's not going to grow.
Yeah.
And I was just so touched by that. And so I had all, and then I start trying to actually do something. And I have painted bamboo before, so it's not like a completely foreign thing. But I just got to see conditioning, like, up in the standards. Okay, it's got to be, really, amazing, and just all this stuff.
Which, again, I mean, right, we would never do that. I mean, especially, boy, you have a front row seat to how you would do that, right? Because I think you actually teach art, right?
I do.
So
yes.
As someone has an idea, Miss Carlucci, I want to, or whatever they call you, I want to paint this thing, right? And you say, great, and they start painting it. Well, no, it needs to be much better than that. No, that's not going to cut it. Mm-mm. You would never do that.
No. Yeah, so it's helpful to imagine that and what I, and I would help them. We would start really small and just, do practice and just keep going and be because I did write down too that just to be really supportive of this human being, like every step of the way, not listen to that, oh, that doesn't look very good, or that's really sloppy, not listen.
And Tony, what if you were to articulate it, what would you say was so inspiring to you about that image of the bamboo?
Reading what was in the website I guess, and I can see it, the connection. It's like, so I've been, I don't think I'm going to cry, I've been, making attempts at art for a lot of years, and there's been self-hating conditioning right there with me. Pretty much the whole time. But that idea of, my skills are better than they were 4 years ago, and that, in 4 years from now, they could be even better. But to keep watering the plant, practicing, nurturing the plant, nurturing this human being, where I am right now, and trust that
Yes.
I'm where I need to be. And
yeah.
Something like that.
Exactly, because that's what I pictured. As you're working on this project of participating in the Bridgewalk campaign, to realize that is what you're doing. You're watering those seeds. You're watering that bamboo.
Yeah.
Right? You're taking care of it. And, you know, you might even look to see, as you go along, if there's a place that's really stepped back, a disidentified, maybe even centered place, that could see not only is Tony painting, you know, does she have more skill than she had 4 years ago, but might even be able to see the beauty of what she's painting, the beauty, the love, the in her art. In the same way I project she would in those of her students or someone else that she's watching grow in this way as an artist.
Not looking at it in comparison to what it could be or should be from some standard.
Yeah, sort of that place of she's making attempts at art. I mean, she's, you know, you got to give that to her.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Because what was coming to me too is that to do it from a place of love. Do it
exactly.
Inspired by the project, inspired by the process of the bamboo, and not just really, really let go, like, oh, it's got to look this certain way, or it's got to be amazing for anybody to want to donate and receive it, that just if it's done with love, then ideally, then the love just comes off the page.
Yes, exactly. And as you say that, the other thing that occurred to me is maybe get some pictures from the project and pull those up on your computer or print one of those out or something so you remember the love that I project you see when you... We're going to get some photos up to people, I promise. We're working on getting a place where people can go. And one of the photos I'm definitely going to put up there that we just got in from Teresa is this, oh my goodness, it's these two adorable identical twins. They both have lost their two front teeth. They've got their arms around each other. They're probably about 5 years old, I would say. They're wearing matching Chitenge dresses, and they've just lost their mother a month ago and their father died, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And they've got these huge smiles on their faces, and they're just as sweet as they could be, Tony. And to me, it's just all the reminder we need to remember why we're doing this and just the inspiration and the we're all in it together kind of place.
Yes. Oh, gosh, that is so, just imagining it is very heart-touching. And that just thinking about the ongoing love and support those girls will need. Watering the bamboo.
Watering the bamboo. And the team over there, they're doing it, right? They're showering those girls with love. They're making sure they have the nutrition they need. They're going to see to their education. And over here on this side, this is the part that we do. This is what we can do to support their efforts.
Yes. Oh, that is very inspiring. Well, I will definitely print that out when it comes up.
When it comes. Okay.
put it in front of my where I work.
Good.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much,
Tony.
Jen.
Thank you.
Jen?
Yes.
This is Ashwini. Something
Ashwini?
Was dropping in around the theme that we have for this particular, not the theme, but an approach that we have adopted for this campaign.
Yeah.
All of these stewards of practice who are going to offer their practice as a way to fundraise, right? Everyone,
yeah.
I mean, we've got two coming up, the recipes for Thanksgiving, with which is being offered by the monastery cook, and then the joyful, mindful eating that's being offered by a coach that's really, really interested in eating compassionately. And mm-hmm. so, and then Sherry's doing a workshop, I'm doing a workshop, Beth's doing a workshop on body awareness. And so different people are offering what they're good at to Sangha for participation. And yeah. that participation results in donations going to the project. And when Tony yeah. was talking about a love of art and the bamboo as an image, what dropped mm-hmm. in is to connect the dots for everybody to look at that. Nobody needs to take this on, but just as a possibility, right, of how, mm-hmm. as a principle, we can do what we love in the domain we're familiar in order to fundraise. So, for example, yeah. I don't know if this would work, but just throwing it out there, mm-hmm. in using Tony's example, right, that mm-hmm. there's a way in which there's a Saturday workshop in the university where people sign up and on a donation basis, you put the minimum donation, and we're all going to paint bamboo pictures. And Tony will be available to assist people who are interested in exploring that and participating in a fun Saturday activity, doing what they love, which is to paint. Mm-hmm. And all of the proceeds of that workshop go to support the project. And there's a bamboo exhibition of bamboos paintings mm-hmm. done by mm-hmm. artists or kids of all of whom come to that workshop. Yeah. And all of the entry fees for that workshop go to Africa.
It's lovely.
So every one of us has something that we're doing in our lives that we're interested in, whether it's yep. cooking or painting or craft work or yoga or whatever else. And there's a community that we participate in around that, which is interested mm-hmm. in that, which is why we participate in it with them. So is there a way that we can use that principle of practice offerings being your fundraiser to what you do and love being your fundraiser in the community yeah. that loves you and works with you yeah. on it on a regular basis?
Yes, yes. And so two things with that. You know, it's such a gratitude wants to give, right? Here is the gift that life is living through this particular person, right? So art with Tony mm-hmm. or, you know, facilitation with someone else or cooking with the monastery cook. And that's the very gift that I use to give back. It's so beautiful.
Yes.
It, yeah. Yep.
And may I add something to that?
Yes, please, Sherry.
Well, I was just thinking with that then maybe a local library would do an art show, you know, would allow people to, you know, what do you call it, display
yeah.
this. And then it's yeah. a great community story that yeah. this local artist has done this to support this group
so
of
true.
Children in yes. Africa. So
yes. Boy, that's a great point, Sherry. Yes. And you know what? Boy, this one keeps going in and out. Okay, it's back. What I saw when you said that was, and here's my experience of the bridge walks over these many years, and in particular these 2 years, is I was looking at, wow, we're at $21,000, almost $22,000 relatively early, very early on in the campaign. And what I saw was, you know, what conditioning says is, oh, it's going to get boring. It's the same thing. But it's not my experience. What I think is happening is that we're, the seeds of this season grow deeper and deeper and deeper. And so with something like Tony or anyone else, you know, maybe this year I begin that process. And then my experience is very likely next year that will grow even deeper. And so because there's a way in which if Tony does this year and then she did it again, something like it next year, the community begins to go, there's that thing happening again. And more people start to know about it, and more people are involved, and it grows. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really fun. And exactly, you know, that's the example with Tony, but it could be for any of us, anything. You know, we could be looking to see what's our version of that.
This is Michael.
All right. Yeah, Michael.
This is great. This is great. Mm. And I'm inspired. And what I love is open air. And
yeah. We do too.
And somebody suggested to me an idea about bringing open air into this. I'll just throw it out, and I welcome your feedback and ideas. And that is to make it some sort of a participation game where a listener or anyone would make a donation of any size and then email open air with a little a quiz question, like, you know, give me the what's the name of the community in Africa we're working in, or what's the name of the country we're working in? And then email me, and then we're going to have a special show, or a, you'll get priority as a caller. So if you want to get in the queue for the special show on December 1st or whatever, you know, so make a donation, email me, send me your phone number, and then we'll have a special show, and you'll be at the top of the queue, because getting onto open air is difficult, as regular callers will have noticed, because it's a limited resource. And just another way to keep it top of mind for everybody.
Yeah. So just really brainstorming, okay, so what is it that I love? And how, just kind of playing with different ideas of how that might fit with participating in the Bridge Walk season.
Yeah.
And I don't, on the particular content, Michael, I also don't know. So that might be a great one to email in about. And we could see what might pan out from that. But I love that attitude of mind of just, well, let me play with this. And then where would that go? And how might that play in? And
Great. All right. So thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
This is Laura Ann.
Hey, Laura.
Hello. Okay, well, my process so far is I feel like there's definitely a willingness to participate, and I can, you know, feel the wall of resistance. And I feel like the way I've been practicing with it so far is there's kind of like a sense of urgency. It comes in of like, oh God, you gotta figure out what you're doing. You gotta, you know,
quick, because we only have 13 weeks left.
And so more. So I've just kind of more been like, well, I'm just gonna show up for every support call, and I'm just gonna read all the emails, and I'm just gonna let it unfold.
Laura, say more about the willingness to participate.
Yeah, I think it's just, well, kind of like you talked about with the photo, you know, it's like, for me, the fundraiser that I did last year was around the college tuition, and
cool.
Like, that's kind of what I go to, is like, you know, I just can't imagine not supporting that and not... and that's one of the things that gets me inspired, you know, and excited.
So you think about those in particular. Well, actually, there's about 8 women. So there's the 4 young women who are in nursing school, and there are the 4 young women who are in teaching school. And so you think about them, and that really reminds you of wanting to participate.
Right, and I just can't imagine, not supporting them to continue, and, you know.
Right? I mean, yeah, it's amazing what they're doing. I mean, I've said it a million times, but I tell you, Laura, I'm honest to God, I get goosebumps every time. When you mention it, I got goosebumps. And that tells you something, right? Because I'm, of anyone, I mean, other than Teresa and the other folks there, you know, I'm the one who's getting to see this day in and day out. So, and yet, that it doesn't wear off, the impact of that, the incredible ripple effect that's having. I mean, completely transformative for those 8 women. Their lives are turned upside down in a way they never, I mean, in a really good way, but in a way they never would have imagined. If you had asked any of them, even 3 years ago, you know, are you going to go to college? Go to college. I mean, how am I going to go to college? I'm not even going to be able to finish school. I'm not going to, you know, Because talk about a wall of resistance, the things that they are up against, and to stop them from doing that, both externally but also internally. Imagine that same process, right, that we're up against. No, that's not who you are. That's not. So they live in a community where that doesn't happen. So can you imagine the voices in their head? Who do you think you are? Oh, right, you're going to go to college? Oh, please. You know, why would you? Blah, blah, blah. So then they're in this place where they actually do it. You know, they do all the things. And we now have the extraordinary privilege and responsibility to see it through, right? And it is a responsibility. I mean, it reminds me of being a parent. You know, I have never been an actual parent myself, but I can imagine that place of, you know, waking up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat when they're 3 years old thinking, oh, my gosh, this is mine forever. like they're depending on me. And it's true. It could drag us into a conversation of that's way too much pressure, or it could be such an inspiration to rise to. It's requiring me to show up in this way that I really want to show up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like for me, it's sort of the roots that have been growing. You know, it's been the last year was sort of a breakthrough year for me of doing more in terms of fundraising and actually reaching out to people. Yeah. And so I feel like that foundation is set a little bit more. And so, you know, there's obviously it was hard, and it will be, it'll be another challenge to get through the resistance, but I feel more confident about that this year, having done it before. But the thing that dropped in for me is, you know, hearing people talk about their, like, craft projects and stuff, like, I really enjoy doing craft projects, but I don't really have any that I do currently or, you know, anything like that. And then I got an email about there's going to be a craft fair at my work where people can bring in craft. And the idea is you donate a percentage to your favorite charity or your favorite, you know.
Love it.
And it was kind of like, well, that's kind of perfect.
That's really incredibly perfect. I love it.
And I'm just seeing the, like, it's like, you don't have a craft. What the heck would you do? And even, like, how humiliating and horrible would it be if you, like, tried to make a craft and then no one wants it, and, you know, and it wouldn't be that much, so don't even bother. And so I'm just seeing all of that.
So it strikes me that in the same way we were just talking about, that our responsibility to, say, let's just take the college women, our responsibility to the college women and what that requires us to do to show up for them could be applied exactly in the same way here with Laura. My responsibility to show up for Laura, and she's inspired. She loves this project, right? Oh. And so it's my job, you know, when I'm in that step back place, to give her the space to do it. And the thing is, so you said a minute ago, you know, I know it's going to be really hard, and it might be really hard, but it might not be, right? What we can know is that the voices are going to go crazy. They will. That we do know. But we don't necessarily know it's going to be hard because it might be that I can step into the place, you know, with recording and listening, you know, the pictures like we were talking about with Tony. I might step into the place of doing the whole thing from the place of love and inspiration. Yeah, the voices will be there and they'll do what they do. But that doesn't necessarily have to be the vantage point from which I'm doing it. Right? So if there's that place of, you know, she loves crafts. Well, but what craft are you going to do? You know what? You're not actually invited to this conversation. I'm not going to have the conversation with you. I'm going to have the conversation with Laura.
Yeah.
And maybe that's in the form of a two-hander recording. Hey, tell me all the things. Not what are you going to do right now, but tell me all the crafts you love. Ooh, which one? And what do you love about that one? Ooh, I love all the colors and the yarn. Ooh, which one? And what's your favorite color? I mean, truly, like you were talking to, you know, maybe even a young person who's excited about this craft that she wants to do. And for her, I project, you know, how good it is not going to be on her radar screen, especially if she's only in relationship with someone who loves everything that she does. And if no one quote, buy, you know, if no, not quote, if no one buys it, then there's the mentor to say, I want it.
Yeah. Well, and the other place that felt helpful that, you know, previous conversation was that place of, like, we're just laying down roots. And so
exactly,
maybe that's all I'm doing with this craft thing this year. I'm just laying down roots.
Yep.
Nothing may flower this year, but
yes,
I'm just,
exactly,
you know? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yep. And one other thing occurred to me, it keeps coming up as we're talking to people. It'd be so interesting to create a grace period where, you know, so we get inspired and the first thing that comes in is, what are you going to do? But what if I, okay, so it's whatever it is, November 2nd, and we have plenty of time. I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't even begun my efforts. I'm not even sure how my bridge walk thing is going to look this year, right? But I'm not, I'm just with Jen in that process unfolding, like letting life inform us. So what if there was a particular grace period? Okay, we're not going to look at any to-dos until at least November 9th. I mean, I'm just picking out a random day. And so between now and the 9th, all we're looking at is what we love, what we're inspiring. If ideas come in, great, jot them down, set them aside. But no conversation about what the plan is, what we're going to do. We just get to spend X amount of time in the fun and inspiration of all of it. And we're having no conversation about what we're going to do.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, so applicable to so many areas of our life. Which is another thing I think is so fun about bridge walk season, is it's one of those places where we come together, you know, we're having these calls, these conversations, that's on top of everything else we get to do, and everything we're going to see and grow with in this campaign is something we can bring into other areas of our lives.
Yeah.
And one more thing I just want to make quick mention of, Laura, because so many folks have talked about, as you say, crafts and things they want to make and that kind of thing, very inspiring. We are working on the first annual Bridgewalk Market Day. So more to come, yeah, more to come as that unfolds. But I think it's going to be a virtual opportunity probably on December 3rd is what we're looking at, because December 3rd, I think I mentioned this on another call, I've learned is Giving Tuesday. So where through social media and all kinds of things, people turn their attention to, you know, where do you want to participate with your finances in particular on Tuesday, December 3rd, so the first Tuesday after Thanksgiving. So we're looking towards creating a space on that day for Sangha to in some way share with each other the things that we've created and that folks might want to, you know, purchase and have the money go to the project. So,
wow, that's
in the works. Yeah.
All right.
Super fun. All right. Thanks,
Hi.
Laura.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Anna.
Hey, Anna.
This is Hi.
And Janice.
And Janice. Okay.
I'm wondering, when is that workshop about the making a loving meal?
Yep. That is
yes.
Saturday, December 16th.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Is that
Come
right?
on. And
let me just see if that's
that.
The right number. Definitely Saturday. Yeah, it's the 16th. And Anna, there will
okay.
be an email coming out on Tuesday where all of the upcoming practice opportunities are highlighted along with links to register for them. The registration for that one on the 16th is not live yet, but it will be by
okay.
Tuesday.
Okay. Oh, great.
And that's going to include recipes, the recipes that we often use for holiday meals around here.
Oh, yummy.
I know.
What dropped in for me is I'm doing this clinical or this practicum, for Eden Energy Medicine this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to be doing a lot of sessions for practice.
Mm-hmm.
And, and so I'm going to get started with doing that more consistently. And then I'm going to be asking, I'm going to, you know, if people feel like the value, the session, then I'm going to ask them to donate to the project.
What a lovely idea.
Yeah, this is, it's a win-win because I have a hard time asking for money, even though I don't know why, but so it's much easier for me to say that.
Well, we do know why.
For some reason.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe what we can hope is that through that process, as you get used to, I project, seeing the value of the service that Anna is providing and that people value it and that they love it, and that in the Bridgewalk season, you can really enjoy that being your way of participating in the Bridgewalk season. And then, you know, you'll get to see, hopefully, through recording and listening, especially carrying that forward in the work, so that you will be able to see, you know what, and Anna deserves that same, you know, it's not just the kids in Africa that need support, Anna needs support too in that way.
Then when, so on the fundraiser page, is it linked to the campaign website? Because I wasn't able to find, because I didn't write anything on my fundraiser page yet.
Uh-huh.
Because is there a link that links you directly to the campaign website where everything is explained and the project is described?
Let me clarify. Yeah, which site you're talking about? So you went on the campaign website and created a fundraising page. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you're wondering if from there, is there a link back to the part that's more on our website that shows the bamboo and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking for a second, and Bob, please jump in. I don't think there is a link from our page, from the bamboo kind of page, to the main campaign site, but not vice versa. But what you can do, and I did this in my page, Anna, is do you remember when you set up your own fundraising page where there was a little place where you could type a message in? Okay. And so in that, what you can do is you can go, for example, I'm sitting on the Living Compassion one, the one that says these little trees are becoming a forest. And then I go up into my browser window and I cut and paste that URL. And then as I'm writing in my fundraising page, I can say, I love this project. Please visit this beautiful page. Boom, there it is. And that link. I've embedded the link myself into that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, because the voices get me with, and I've had have difficulties doing it, like writing something. Yeah.
Oh yeah, me too.
And
the other thing that I noticed for myself, Anna, is I have a karmic tendency to reinvent the wheel, and then I realized, well, actually, wait a minute. You know, people have gone, you know, done a lot of beautiful writing on this project. I don't need to do that. It's all there. Here, let me choose the page that. I mean, there are lots of pages you could link to, right? There's blogs. There's, you know, updates from Teresa, there's the campaign site, there's all kinds of things. So you could choose whichever page you want to send people to start, and then boom, there they go.
Okay, great. Yeah, and then I guess one more thing. I don't know, is it like a limiting thing to have kind of a smaller number as you go? You know, I wonder if that's limiting, because I kind of put like a smaller number than I had last year, kind of out of worry that what if I don't get any donations and then I'll, you know, have to come up with some money somehow.
Well, first of all, no, not at all. There's nothing on the, you know, your number that you choose to shoot for is your number that you choose to shoot for. No one else is going to look at that number. No one else is going to ever know that number except for you. That's your number.
Oh, okay.
So you can know that. And then
but
in terms
of people,
is, Go ahead.
But people who go on my fundraiser page, they see the goal, right?
Well, that's true. Your people will see it. Yeah. Your people will. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, you know, maybe then people think, oh, you know, they don't want to go. They think it's not needed to go over that number.
Yeah, exactly. You want to inspire them. I confess, Anna, I had to go into mine last year and quickly up it at one point because I wanted, yeah, to keep stretching my team. Yeah. And, you know, to me, there's truly, I mean, if we really realize that this, that Bridgewalk season, in the same way that everything in practice is an opportunity for us to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. And the amazing thing about this is that in the meantime, we're also having the great benefit, the great privilege of supporting an entire community that we absolutely love in Africa. But not to lose sight of, it really is, this is awareness practice. And so to me, there's so much for you to see in that, you know, which goal do I choose? And there truly isn't a right. You know, do I go lower? Mm-hmm. So I, because I want to support, not, you know, or are the voices telling me I'm going to fail? And do I not? Just so much to see. So there's really, truly not a right way to do it. But there might be a lot for you to see as you go, you know, really stay as present and aware and conscious through that process as you can. Especially, again, using recording and listening to support yourself in that. You know, maybe ask Anna, what would you like your goal to be? Well, I want it to be this. But I'm afraid that, well, tell me about that, right? And then the two of you can have a dialogue, and maybe you get to a place of, this is our number, and whatever anyone else thinks is not our business. You know, they can think what they think, but this is what I want to do.
You know, sometimes people put $1, you know, as a goal, and then it's open-ended in a way. I kind of like that, but I don't know. When there isn't, like, a particular goal? I don't know.
I don't know. I think what that would show on your progress bar on your page is that as soon as that was done, you know, the $1, then your whole progress bar will be filled up, which could be kind of fun. Then you'll go through the campaign with the whole progress bar, no matter what happens.
But people wouldn't think that $1 was the real goal, you know?
right. So much to see. So much to see. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Anna.
Bye.
Dana. Bye-bye.
Hi, Jan. It's inspiring. It is, Janice. It's really inspiring to hear everybody on this call.
Yeah.
And I see it as a interesting practice because I'm excited to do parts, and then I hear conditioning coming in. I'm seeing it, and then there's that sinking feeling in my body. Oh, I can't ask, you know, whatever it is, a question or for money or whatever. And then all of a sudden you're talking about what are you good at, and the energy goes zipping up again. So it feels like I'm just really practicing and right here on a call.
Yep, that roller coaster of, woo.
Yeah. When you said there was something about doing something you love, and I just love taking photographs, but I never actually print them. I'm pretty low-tech about everything. And I was thinking, how can I join the Sangha and make something online, and then there's no cross-border shipping or anything. So just a virtual photo of some things, you know, bamboo. I could go out photographing bamboo and put some quotes. So I got the energy zipped up, whether or not that happens, but that sure helped turn to what I can do instead of what I can't do.
And isn't it such a perfect illustration of what we focus on grows?
Yes.
And because basically you just walk yourself through disidentifying. And as you, I mean, that's so important what you said, whether or not anything happens, because that's how conditioning is going to close the energy back down. Well, yeah, but I mean, you can't really do that, and that's not really going to work. Completely missing the point that it doesn't matter. What I'm doing is focusing on what I love and what lights me up. There, now I have all the energy. And that's what we can practice doing over and over and over again.
Thank you for reflecting that. Yes.
Yeah.
I have a technical question that I try to write in, and the answer still may be coming. I'm not sure, but because I'm on the call, I'd really like to just ask. I was working with my daughter-in-law, who's they live a long way away, and also their whole the company in their northern town is being shut down. So the town is kind of going to kind of collapse in on itself a little bit. And and she got inspired even to get on board with this. So I'm thinking of a man, that's great.
Darla,
right?
Who we spoke with on the on that first
yeah,
call?
Darla.
Oh, great.
So
mm-hmm.
so, you know, asking people who are now losing their jobs and maybe their homes and things like that to be inspired.
Yeah.
Like I think, wow, that is so brave. And
really?
And she was the one who wrote the letter, and I sort of tried to edit it as much as possible to go out because we're trying to do this as a family. And I just wanted to make sure I had some facts right. But the project in Africa has been going since 'cause, you know, she clearly really read when they were driving home in 15 hours going in and out of internet service. She read through everything. And
wow.
Put things down as best as she could. The project in Africa, in Zambia, did it start in 2005? I just kind of want to make sure.
That is, yep, that's when we served the first meals in Cantalamba. Yep.
Okay, and it did start with, I remember hearing a long time ago, it was 20 kids that Teresa had in her mother's kitchen. But did it start with 20?
Yeah, actually, outside, outside in the sort of just outside the family home where the Capellas grew up in Cantalamba.
And it was like 20 kids. I just kind of wanted to get, that's what conditioning says, you got to get your facts right. So
you got to get it right, yeah.
Is it 25 or 20 kids?
You know, Janice, I'm not sure. I always say 25. I can't.
Okay, well, I'm saying 25. I'm going to leave it as, that's what we have down. And then
great.
That it's run entirely through, she wanted to make it clear to all her friends that there's no advertising or administration fees, no hidden costs.
Mm-hmm.
It's entirely donations, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, and then we got word it was that it's this project's run entirely as a service of kindness. So that's our theme. We had everybody get a picture of ourselves holding up the different letters of kindness because there were eight people. So we're playing on that.
Lovely.
Yeah. So I think I think that's correct. And the people, how many people are now hired in Cantalamba?
How many are in the cooperative?
Yes, for that teachers and there's the nurse.
About 35.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And, you know, one of the things that's inspiring to me is the cooperative certainly receives financial benefit in the sense of, you know, they receive money in order to, you know, support themselves, eat, all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're much like we are. They're not getting rich, right? These are the people who have chosen to do this are the people who have self-selected that they want this in their community. And so, you know, they're always the first to say, no, bring us more kids. Bring us more kids.
Yeah.
We can do it. You know, we've got the time. We've got the space. We can do it. Bring us more.
Oh,
so
God.
Teresa's always really clear about who, you know, the kind of person that she has on her team.
Yes.
Because it takes a big heart to do the work that they're doing.
It sounds like it. And when you told the story about the twins, I could just, I just know those hearts are all coming together for those girls.
For those girls. That's right. That's right.
Mm.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gosho, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Janice. Yeah. Yep.
Hi, Jen. This is Ren.
And Karen.
Oh, Ren. Hey, Ren.
Hi,
and then Karen.
And Karen also. so I'm not even sure. I think that's how you jump in.
That's how. You just say your name, and then you let life take care of the rest.
I dialed in at 12:55, and I put the wrong access code. And then I waited for awareness to say, hey, maybe I should check it. And so I was late to the call. But I joined in right where you were talking about the identical twin. And I am an identical twin. And my sister and I lost our front teeth at the same time. And I clearly remember a picture on my mom's bed where we were smiling from ear to ear. And it's like my favorite picture. I think my aunt made the dresses for us. And now, my mom is in a depression. I've spoken about it a lot. But I was lucky enough to have my mom my whole life.
Yeah.
And so, I had been feeling, hearing a lot of resistance in conversation about what can I do, and I don't want to do anything, and I want to do anything, and it just hit me like, this is us. This is me. Like when the teacher on the conference call, and I don't remember his name, was talking, it was me, and then Teresa did, this is our family, the little sign that she did. And it stayed with me because Sangha is with me everywhere I go.
That's right.
I'm still in that part where the watering is happening and I'm not sure what I'm doing.
Good.
But so many things have dropped in. Like my art teacher at school, she does a thing where she buys these $10, I don't even know if they're $10, however much, canvases. And she has a cookies and canvas, and she has a huge turnout. And then I was actually thinking of, telling the story of the bamboo and stuff, and then conditioning was going well. But you can't paint if you can't lead people to paint because it's just going to be silly. And then I'm like, but we could get a stamp or something and then just watercolor it. It could be anything because everybody, even the kids, the adults, everybody just likes to do it. And then if you just make a donation, I'm not feeling bad about what I'm asking for because I'm saying whatever you want to give. And then I'm explaining the process. So I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful you talked about those girls. And it's just amazing.
Yeah, well, and Ren, so we will, as I say, I promise we'll get those pictures up. So it might be so fun for you to print that photo out. I just pictured printing that photo and then the photo of you and your sister, and just letting folks know that's where your inspiration is coming from.
Yes, 100%. Thank you.
You know, for me, that was a huge thing when we first started this. I just got it. I mean, one of the things was the Capendas. Teresa and her siblings are right all around the same age as me and my siblings, and I had much the same experience that you. In fact, one of her brothers shares my birthday. And I had the same experience you did, Ren, of realizing, wow, so here we were, like being born and growing up in these parallel years, and how much I had. And I got it that I just, I wasn't the person who was going to kind of pull myself up by my proverbial bootstraps, that so much of what I have is because of where I grew up and the privilege I had. Mm-hmm. And so really wanting to participate with a community to give people those just very basic opportunities and to give them, that sense of being loved and supported and cared for, to really be, make the choices they want to make in their lives.
Yes. These support calls are so important, even though it took me 3 tries to actually get myself to come on. I'm going to go back and listen to the other one.
Good for you. Good for you. And to focus on such a success, right? The whole thing all the way around, right? That's the watering the bamboo. It's not a mistake. It's not a problem. It didn't take too long. It's all just the watering process.
Yes. And as an early childhood teacher, there's something about that really resonates with me because now everybody in politics wants to judge everything by test scores and accountability. And you don't always see. You don't see what's going in sometimes, and you can't measure how much kids learn to smile and say hello. I mean, maybe you could, but
exactly.
You know what I mean? They don't.
Yes, and exactly. So, be happy and learn kindness. And
the whole thing
yeah.
is beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, let me give
Thank
someone
you,
else
Ren. And Karen, can we start with you on the next call? You still there?
Yes, yeah, I just had to get unmuted. Yes, absolutely.
Perfect.
Yes.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. And thank you, everyone. And our next support call is Wednesday the 13th at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And as I say, an email is coming out Tuesday with the practice opportunities coming up, with that call information, all kinds of things are coming out on that Tuesday email. So Wednesday, November 13th at 5 p.m. Pacific will be the next time we can all talk. Thanks, everyone.